Hearing God. This is actually a topic that we should probably, as a church, circle around to every once in a while, because this world, this culture is so full of distractions that we need to circle back to the idea, the importance of hearing God. Amen? Amen. Need to hear the voice of God. What I've done on this study is I've equated with hearing the voice of God with hearing the voice of Keith. I'll explain a little deeper. I wanted to look at the process of hearing anybody that you might need to hear from in your life. What's our process when we desire to hear someone's voice or someone's opinion or advice? For me, a lot of time, it's Keith. There's God, there's Jill, and there's Keith. So, but the process that I go through to hear Keith, and God began to teach me this process that we naturally go through, but it changes a little bit because we're thinking about it spiritually. But I want to take you through these six simple steps for hearing from God or Keith. Now, the first one we're going to hit, by the way, we may be experiencing some technical difficulties with the projectors from time to time today. Have no fear. God has been at work without projectors for centuries. All right? Of course, that's what preachers are supposed to say when they have technical difficulties. But regardless, he has, and we will continue on. But I will say that I do have notes that are out in the foyer. Also, if you want to go to your Bible app, you can go to Bethel Church Choctaw and see our notes as well. Because I have a lot of scriptures. This is one of those sermons with a lot of scriptures. So we'll look some of them up and I'll tell you some of them. But if they don't happen to get to the screen, then you can look them up on the notes. Text me if you didn't get notes, or look them up on the Bible app. And you should tell Sam that he is greatly appreciated to put up with some of this stuff. So thank you. Sam does a great job, and it makes me very comfortable when I see Sam back there. So the first step in hearing someone's voice is you have a desire. You have to want to, or hey, you're just not going to do it. But there's a difference between a want to and a desire. For instance, I would like to weigh about 190 pounds, 2% body weight, just bulked and swole. Anybody else?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I want that. I don't desire it bad enough to take the steps to get it. Right? Now, for instance, as a musician, in my younger years, I desired to reach a certain level of musicianship. And so I made sacrifices and took the steps to practice and to learn and to talk to people that knew what they were doing and listen to people and try things. And so I did take the steps to do that, to reach a certain level of musicianship. So we see the difference in between want and desire. And 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3 says this about desire. He says, "Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander," and here we go, verse 2, "like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word." That long sometimes is translated desire. It comes from the Greek word epipatheo, and it means desire, just an intense crave for something, intensely craving something. Sometimes this word is actually translated into lust. there's a strong desire there. This isn't just a want something. This is the desire to go get it. Now, a lot of times we relate desire with something that is comes natural. Well, it was natural for me to want to be a musician, so I took that path, you know, and I took those steps. But what he's saying here is not if you have a desire. He says long for it. Desire it. Do it. Desire this. Begin to desire. So I begin to think, and we need to want to hear the voice of God. Psalms 27:4, he says, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple." Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." There's a great desire. If you want it bad enough, you have to take the steps to actually get there to it. Desire the milk of the word like newborn babies desire it. Want God's direction in your life so badly that you'll take the steps necessary to hear him. Okay? Number two, the next step in hearing someone's voice is have a purpose. Why do you want to hear from God? Now, that may sound like a kind of a silly question. Why do you want to hear from God? It sounds silly until you begin to try to figure out how to answer it. And then you're like, well, I need to have a reason to want to hear from God. It may be something very general, like if I want to hear from Keith, I have a desire, and so I think about the purpose of going to Keith, and some days it may be I just want to bounce some ideas off of him. Some days I need some very specific godly advice, and some days I just want to catch up with him and talk to him and see how he's doing, because he loves me and I love him, and it's a relationship building type of purpose that we are connecting. But it's important that we have that purpose. Jesus asked the blind man in Mark 10:51, "What is it? What do you want me to do for you?" He asked a blind guy this. "What do you want me to do for you?" Do you think that Jesus knew? Yeah, I think so too. Jesus probably knew. That means that there's some benefit to the receiver of this to acknowledge the purpose and why he's desiring to be close to Jesus. There's something that he gets out of it by saying, "This is what I want from God," because it gives him a goal, it gives him a purpose. And then our meeting up with God, our connection with God, is actually intentional. Acknowledging the purpose heightens the intention and gives us a better focus on our behavior. Then we have a goal that we can move towards when we have a purpose. When we don't have a purpose, we're in danger of performing out of tradition and out of habit. When we perform or when we do things from tradition or habit, it's very possible that we lose the value of those things that we're doing, because they become meaningless. And that will affect the outcome. That will affect the result. Psalms 51:16-17. Look this up. Mark this in your Bibles. He's talking to God here, and he says, "For you do not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. You are not pleased with burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, and a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." Don't do things out of habit and tradition. Be intentional. Why do you want to hear God? I'm not saying that we should overthink and overcomplicate things, but I'm saying that there are some steps in this process that we need to realize in order to successfully hear God and do what he wants us to do and understand what he's saying to us. Why do you want to hear God? Maybe today's answer will be different than it will be tomorrow. Maybe it will be very specific. Maybe it will be very general. But I want to be very intentional when I talk to God and when I listen to God. God, here's what I'm looking for. If this is okay, I need some direction about this and this and this. You know, the Bible says that sometimes we don't get what we ask for because we ask incorrectly. So think about it. Be intentional about it. Be intentional with your time with God. Even if it's just to build relationship, that's okay. Know that. It's important to know that. Be meaningful and impactful. So I have a desire, I have a purpose, and now I'm going to connect. Whether it's a call or a visit or I'm going to place myself in proximity. I'm going to make myself available. I'm going to connect, step three, connect with God. Hebrews 4:16 says, therefore let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace and help in the time of need. Now this may also sound like a kind of a duh step, right? Of course, if we're seeking someone's voice. But I want you to see the value of realizing the importance of this part of the process, connecting with God. See, when I connect with Keith, it's easy because I could do one of two or three things. I can call him, text him. We both have our phones on us most of the time. Or during work hours, I can just go across the hall, sit down in his office, and talk to him, right? It's easy. Now, here's the thing. Connecting with God is actually easier than that. However, get this. It takes an engagement of a different aspect of our beings that we do not commonly access in the natural, and that is our spirits. It's easy for me to contact Keith because I can hear him, I can see him, we can talk. Talking with God is also easy because he's there 24/7, ready to hear you, ready to listen, ready to speak to you. However, I have to engage my spirit to talk to him, right? Okay. For instance, a car can run its engine all day long until it runs out of gas. But it's not going to move an inch until someone engages the gears, right? Likewise, we have to engage the gears between our brains and our spirits because it's actually our spirit that has access to God and his spirit. Romans 8:16. Think about this. Romans 8:16. The Spirit itself, capital S, Holy Spirit, itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Does it tell our brains, our heart? No, it tells our spirit as well. 1 Corinthians 2:9-10. Get this. Eye hath not seen, so you hadn't seen it. You didn't read it. You didn't watch it on YouTube. Ear hath not heard. You didn't hear anybody say it. Right? I'm getting information here, but it's not through my eyes. It's not through my ears. It says, neither have entered into the heart of man. I didn't come up with this idea on my own. I can't think this brilliantly. This isn't something that I thought of. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man. What does that leave? My spirit, right? Jesus says God is spirit. We're going to worship him in spirit and in truth. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither have entered to the heart of man that which God hath prepared for them that love him. But I have revealed them unto you by my spirit, for my spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Look at the access that we have here. The deep things of God. What do you think's deep to God? Like, what is it that God sits back and says, that's deep? Right? I have access to that. Why? Not because I've seen it, not because I've heard it, not because I've thought about it or created it in my head, because the Spirit itself bears witness with my spirit. That's why I have to engage my brain, my spirit, because that's my connection with God. When we engage our minds with our spirits, which is connected to God's spirit, we engage gears of a supernatural power that can change our natural circumstances. Think about that. That's our access. So connect. I encourage you this week, practice this throughout the day. Just stop and connect with God. Maybe he'll tell you something. Maybe you don't hear anything right off the bat. But connect. Make the connection throughout the day. God's with you all the time, and he has so many things to say. He's got so many wonderful inventions and stuff that he would like for you to know about if you just would sometimes take the time to connect. Connect with him. A little things. I was working as a trim carpenter on the high school, Choctaw High School gymnasium. Kind of shows you how old I might be, actually. But we were, I was working on the very far side, hanging a door on the very south side of this building. And I dropped a screw that I needed. And we were in a hurry to get done. And to go all the way back to where the truck was and all, just a terrible ordeal. And so I'm like, oh, my goodness, I need that screw. I can't, like, leave this without this screw. And I begin to pray. So I thought, well, I'll just pray about it. So I prayed about it. A little thing. God miraculously told me where that screw was. It was in the cuff of my pants. When I dropped it, it went to the cuff of my pants. I guess that tells you how old I was, too. God cares about the very little tiny things in your life. Sometimes we just don't give him credit for it. We only bring up the huge things, right? Have you ever been working on something or you have some type of scenario in your life? It's like, this is, you know, it's difficult. And somebody comes up to you and says, well, have you prayed about it? And, well, yeah. We need to connect. Get in a habit of connecting about everything. On your drive home, God, you want me to take the regular path or you want me to go another way home? Just connect. Connect with God. And when we make that connection, step four, communicate. Communicate, communicate, communicate. Now, this is a good one. We need to talk about this a lot, I believe. Dialogue, not monologue. Try spending more time in the listening position. Psalms 37:7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Because it's easy to say, I want to hear the voice of God. I want to hear God's voice in my life. But it's far more difficult to exemplify that behavior. We say that we want to hear from him, but we operate and act like we really want him to hear from us. I want to hear you, Lord. I want to hear your voice. What are you trying to say to me? By the way, here's my laundry list of requests. All right? Very good. All right, you work on that, and I'll get back with you tomorrow and see how things are going. You know, sometimes we treat our communication with God like that. And the thing is, there's a time for one-directional prayers. We learn one-directional prayers at church. Because we are not in a place and time where we just want to stop and hear from God. Some people probably think that my prayer life is very similar to how you hear me pray here on stage, but it's not. And I want to encourage you, there's a time for one-directional prayers, but it's more necessary that you have a dialogue with your Father God. And that means that there are times when you need to sit like Mary did, sit at the feet of Jesus and listen. Just listen. And that is not an easy thing to do. We think it is sometimes, but it's not. So I'm not going to go home and I'm not going to spend my time when I have my alone time with God and pray with him like I pray in front of you here. That's more of a one-directional prayer, and that's okay. There's time for that. But take time to go to God and listen to Him. Tests show, there's been studies about this, students who are taught specifically how to listen will make better grades. One neuroscientist stated this, "People don't get better at listening with age, but rather through practicing it as a skill." People think listening is a passive activity like hearing. But in reality, listening requires activating many parts of the brain. Studies show that people think that they are good listeners, but in actuality, they normally are not, according to the studies. The reason is that we can listen. Our brain operates four times faster than someone can speak. So as I'm speaking up here, a lot of your brains are processing stuff, lunch, other scriptures, other ideas, things like this. You're processing things, and that's okay. But there's a talent and there's a skill at listening, and it's important that we do that. Even God said audibly, "This is my beloved son, listen to him." The very few times that I think people have audibly heard God, one of the things he says in Mark 9:7, "This is my beloved son, listen to him." Sometimes we need to stop the busyness of our lives, place ourselves in a position and a time to receive from God. Psalms 46:10 says, "Cease striving and know that I am God." Isaiah 54, "He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple." Proverbs 19:20, "Listen to counsel and accept discipline that you may be wise for the rest of your days." It's important that he hears us, yes. But it's importanter that we hear him. Amen? Make it a dialogue, not a monologue. Now, this is a challenge, and it does take practice. It does take practice, but we can do it. Communicate. God desires to speak to your spirit. Engage and communicate. Number five, after you communicate, after I get my advice from Keith, I'm going to put it into action. I'm going to take steps. I heard one preacher say, the reason that you may not be hearing from God anymore is because you hadn't accomplished what he told you to accomplish last time you talked to him. Now, I'm not going to go that far, but I'm saying it is important to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Take steps and put it into practice. You know, God rarely will, if ever, will show you the entire map of how you're going to get from point A to point B. You get one step at a time because that's the only way that you know that it's faith. You're trusting in God by going one step. I don't know where's next. Oh, okay, there it is, God says. Oh, I don't know where's next. That's stepping out in faith. We have to take those steps. And sometimes it's small steps towards a goal. Maybe not the finish line. Maybe we don't see that yet, but it's small steps toward the goal. In other words, if I felt like God wanted me to take some more missionary trips in the next couple of years, which I believe he does, well, I'm not going to leave today or this week. Even this month, I'm not going to be able to make it to, you know, I'm not going to get everything together. However, I can begin to take steps in that direction. I can save up for a suitcase if I need one, get my passport ready. Maybe I can learn a few words in the language of where I'm going to. I'm actually going to a seminar in another state for 2 days that teaches me how to be a leader of mission trips. Small, short-term mission teams. So I can take steps towards my goal. Remember that. Take steps. Step 5 of the process. Take steps in the right direction. Romans 2:13. For it is not the hearers of the law who are just before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. Take whatever advice or leading that you receive from God and step out on faith and begin heading in the direction of obedience. Amen. If you're a little bit off, you know what? God will honor your faith and your obedience. There's examples of it all over the Old Testament. Philippians 3:13-14. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. I am not there yet. But there's one thing that I do. I'm going to forget what lies behind. I'm going to reach forward to what lies ahead. I'm going to press on toward the goal. Step number 6, be thankful. This is an important thing too. Is it because God needs his ego stroked? No, he's totally secure in himself. God's got all of that controlled. What does it do then? It's more for us. When we say, God, thank you, we're placing ourselves in a place of humility. I'm saying, God, I thank you for helping me through this. Here's the deal. I can't get through this journey, this day, without you. So I'm humbling myself by saying, thank you. I need you. I can't do it without you. And then when I go get advice from Keith, I'm going to say, Keith, thank you for giving me advice. I needed that. That lets not only him know that I'm appreciative, but it puts me in a place of, you know what? I need Keith to do this job. I need Keith to help me with things in my life. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Psalms 118:21, I shall give thanks to you, for you have answered me. So, let's look at these 6 things, these 6 steps, process. Again, I'm not trying to suggest that we overthink or overcomplicate any of this. I'm thinking just these things are a fleeting moment in our minds when we understand what they are. Have a desire. If you don't have a desire to hear from God, get it. That's what it says in 1 Peter. Just get it. Long for it. Have a desire. Do what it takes to hear from God. Number 2, think about your purpose. What's your goal? What's the end goal here? Be intentional about your time that you spend with God. Number 3, connect. Engage those gears of your brain to your spirit, to God throughout the day. I challenge you. Think about that this week. As you're working, whatever it is that you're doing throughout the day, engage God. See what happens. Just check, like you're checking in. Yes, anything, Lord? God? Okay. Yeah, okay, go. Now, one of these times he may say, yeah, see that person over there in line for the hamburger? You know, see if she needs prayer or something. You never know what God wants you to do. Be aware and engage yourself. Number 4, communicate. Mainly pay attention and listen. If you have anybody in your life that says this to you, and they're like, and they may say, hey, Jeff, by the way, I wonder if you'd be okay with you. And I'm like, what? I said, I'm you come back and later. And, you know, you want to grab them by the ears and just face them and say, okay, what is it that you said? You got anybody like that in your life? Are we ever like that with God and God would just like to grab us by the ears and say, son, daughter, what are you going to say? And let me answer you just like this. Sometimes we just need to engage and pay attention. Number 5, step out in faith and confidence and obedience. take those steps that you feel like God is wanting you to take. And if you don't get a direction, maybe God wants you to simmer down and wait. Okay? Number six, show gratitude and be thankful. It shows your dependence on Him and it shows your humility. Amen. Hebrews 11:6. Stand with me as I read this scripture to you, please. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is. If you come to God, you must believe that He is. But look at the second part. You also must believe that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. You really want to hear God's voice? He really wants to talk to you. He wants you to hear His voice. Sometimes it's going to sound like something you may not expect at all. And next week we're going to talk about that. Maybe God's voice sounds different to different people or different times in your life and things like this. Maybe God speaks to us through other people, through circumstances, all kinds of things. We'll talk about that next week. And let's practice this week engaging with God and listening. Contact and listen. Amen. Bow with me if you would, please. Let's pray.